So, waves are phenomenological, technical, mathematical, political, legal objects. And sometimes they are carried into legal gray areas, as when pirates pillage buoys for parts. And wave scientists like to tell stories about tracking buoy data and then suddenly realizing that it's moving and it's on land and it's probably in the back of someone's pickup truck. Computerized wave models go back to the 1960s. Built on millions of lines of Fortran, such programs are similar to the general circulation models upon which the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change depends. They run on an armada of supercomputers, which need huge amounts of air conditioning, contributing, wave scientists Riley emphasized to me, to the very carbon profile they are tasked with tracking. As computationally intensive as they are, wave models often demand more data points than there are buoys. When that is so, models can conjure proxy data points, virtual buoys, created by interpolating between known data points. Such simulated ghost buoys, you could think of them as conjuring waves in the cloud, speed up prediction. One speaker explained how her team models storm surges. Quote, "We have developed 1,500 possible simulated storms. When there's a storm coming, we look through our catalog of possible storms and we find a match, or we develop a stochastic statistical prediction, which we can do quickly, since it only takes a second to run a scenario," unquote. Whereas real data can take up to 2,000 hours to process on the same machines. Virtual waves make some people uneasy. Two buoy developers who started out as fishermen grumbled to me during the storm talk, "That's not data, that's made up." One ship designer made it clear that he didn't care about waves as such, only about whether his ships had hulls that would resonate dangerously with certain wavelengths. So it's a question of situated knowledge, what different constituencies want out of these measures. The figure of humanity, individual, corporate, regional, global, saturates this science. That became visceral as news streamed into the conference of St. Jude, an extratropical cyclone that arrived in Northern Europe on the 27th of October, 2013, killing 17 people. Just hours into the workshop, a presenter showed the day's headline from the Daily Mail. England was being lashed by 25-foot waves. Participants from the European Center for Medium-Range Weather Forecasts were gratified that their models seemed to be predicting the path, though they were very upset about people heading out into the waves anyway. "We can't save everyone," one participant exclaimed at a picture of a kite surfer. Everyone moaned at the story of a 14-year-old swept out to sea. Talk of probability becomes talk of risk when human elements are introduced, one speaker remarked. Such attention to individual humans contrasted with talks about populations of coastal dwellers. Conversation turned to storm surges, what one speaker called the stupid big brothers of waves. It was here the differences between nation states differently positioned geopolitically in the so-called North and South emerged as a topic. UK scientist Matt Lewis spoke about the World Meteorological Association's Coastal Inundation Forecasting Demonstration Project, aimed at improving forecasts for such places as Bangladesh, a low-lying country with a history of storm surges that have killed hundreds of thousands. He commented that it's hard to get data into a model for such settings because they are, quote, data poor, unquote. That is, not dotted with measurement instruments. More, surge models imported from elsewhere do not work. The mangrove forests and dense coastal villages of Bangladesh are not written into off-the-shelf models. Facts on the ground vary and change. Open ocean and hemispheric dynamics don't stay still either. I found a dramatic global picture on a conference poster. Lured in by lustrously colored maps of world seas, I found Portuguese oceanographer Alvaro Semedo explaining future wave climate. He had taken global data about significant wave heights from the present, defined as 1959 to 1990, and then, assuming a steady increase of CO2 into the atmosphere, the IPCC's anthropogenic scenario, had projected significant wave heights into the future, 2069 through 2100. His prognosis, climate change will generate larger significant wave heights in the southern oceans, indicated by the alarming red, which will correlate with more extreme weather, storms, droughts, and with accelerated breaking up by wave action of Antarctic ice. An Australian wave scientist, animatedly joining in, remarked that Homo sapiens were driving the planet toward disaster, heat waves in Australia, floods in South Asia, collapsing agricultural infrastructure in Africa, waves, he said, of climate refugees. It was impossible, he complained, to get politicians to think geophysically. Quote, politicians don't understand physics, and physics don't recognize politicians, unquote. Yes, another scientist chimed in. Quote, that's the thing, weather and waves don't recognize borders, unquote. Suddenly, I was an anthropologist in the Anthropocene, with humans the agents and destinations for thinking about global climate, with climate a process at once natural and historical. Literary theorist Ian Malcolm, extending historian Dipesh Chakravarti's noted division of history into two kinds, history one, normative secular enlightenment history as told by the West, and history two, subaltern, post-colonial, sometimes supernatural accounts, Ian Balcom has proposed that climate change might require a new history, history three, natural historical, with those words kind of jammed up against one another. He's also called for history 4 degrees centigrade, key to the temperature rise projected for the next century. And maybe this is one visual aid for that. Talking about things anthropocenic with the scientists gathered around this poster, with my being an anthropologist now an authorizing rather than a what are you doing here identity, saw me chatting with them about how North Atlantic hopes for wave energy might founder if wave heights decreased, how coastal infrastructures might drown, how shipping routes might go haywire. Soon, we were all anthropocenically hopped up. I asked about a claim I heard about rogue waves, statistically unexpected waves, defined as twice the significant wave height of their surrounds. Elsbieta Bitter-Gregersen of Extreme Seas had argued that bigger storms in southern oceans might lead to increases in rogue waves. My interlocutors were divided on that claim, though all believed such waves existed. Whereas once upon a time, rogue waves were considered mythical, conjured by credulous mariners, they are now accepted as real, though their rate of incidence is unknown. In 1995 came the first measured instance at a North Sea Norwegian gas pipeline monitoring platform, the Draupner. In a field that treats waves as statistics, this one was given an individual name, the Draupner wave, though here it's being played by the 1829 Japanese woodblock print, Great Wave off Kanagawa, which seems to be the clip art that one uses for such things. What causes such waves? They may emerge from the superimposition of waves in crossing seas. And you can see on the right, this group of waves coming in at each other perpendicularly. They may arrive from wave current interactions with Africa's Cape of Good Hope as a notorious place for wave current interactions. Or they may arise from resonance events in which one wave sucks energy from another, a process described using the nonlinear Schrodinger equation from quantum mechanics. Brinkner-Gregersen said, quote, we can expect that in some ocean areas where the wind severity increases, we will get more crossing seas and more rogue waves, unquote. Here, rogue waves become more than epistemologically novel. They become ontologically new, amplified. They appear, too, as characters in an Anthropocene drama, non-human actors created by global humanity's geophysical agency. Chakravarti suggests that the Anthropocene doubles the figure of the human, placing embodied humans alongside the human, capital H, a scaled-up actor with inhuman capacities, such as the initiation of global warming. Rogue waves, then, are specters, materializations of the inhuman human.